Okay, so the beginning of Parshas Chayesara is occupied primarily with Avraham Avinu purchasing a burial plot on behalf of Sarah. And the Sam Sofer writes that just like Avraham Avinu did not purchase a burial plot in the lifetime of Sarah, so too every person should not be busy with purchasing a burial plot during their own lifetime. It should be taken care of by his relatives after he's passing. Because the Sam Sofer says, we generally have a rule that we don't preempt, we don't induce the difficult and painful experiences of life. We don't induce these kinds of experiences. And therefore, says the Sam Sofer, why would a person be busy with purchasing a burial plot during his own lifetime? However, clearly Avraham Avinu had plans, even before the passing of Sarah, to bury Sarah, and that he himself would be buried ultimately in Maros HaMachpelah. Because the pasuk tells in last week's parasha, as he's entertaining the three guests, Ve'el HaBokar Rots Avram. Avram ran to get a calf to serve to his three guests. Why did he have to run? So Medrash says, because the calf ran away. Where did it run to? Maros HaMachpelah. And when he was there, he saw Adam and Chava were buried there, and it was at that moment that he decided that he and Sarah would ultimately be buried in this place as well. So he already had in mind, the Baal HaTur writes that this is alluded to in the word HaBokar, El HaBokar, Ratz Avram, HaBokar, Oisiois, HaKever. He ran there and he saw, and he had in mind that he was and Sarah would ultimately be buried there as well. And Rashi, in Parashat Zos HaBracha, quotes in the Medrash, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was buried in Begai, Mul, Beis Pa'or, that the burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu was set aside already from Sheishus and Mebrashus, that this would be the burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see, Kadosh Baruch Hu also planned the burial spot for Moshe even during his own lifetime. And in fact, the Medrash tells us in Parashas Vayikra that it's appropriate for a person to prepare a burial spot for himself during his own lifetime. Avraham Avinu didn't have any competition looking for graves, you know, so no other Jews were purchasing plots. So in our times, when there are other Jews that are purchasing plots, a person should secure burial plot for himself during his own lifetime. And that's what it says in the Medrash. That's the common minhag ha'olam. And in fact, the Velt says that it's a school of Arichas Yomim. Someone asked the Stipler, Reb Chaim Kanievsky, what's the source that it's a school of Arichas Yomim? And Reb Chaim Kanievsky claimed that, you know, there is no source, but Kachomrim, you know, Azay Zakman, as the people say. If you would ask me, I think it's obvious why it's a school of Arichas Yomim. Because a person who's purchasing a burial plot for himself is planning for the future. And he recognizes that he is not indestructible, and that this world is a prozdor le'olam haba, and that there will come a time, l'acham eves, some shani is going to pass away. The advice of the Mishnah Masechta Savos, he always keeps in mind, me'ayim bosa ula'ana tohele, from where he came to where he is going. And when a person is planning for the future and recognizes that he's not indestructible, that leads a person to live a healthier life and a more religiously inspired life, which of course is a skula. Not a skula, it's an obvious recipe if a person takes care of himself for Arichas Yomim. But in this mindset of planning for the future and purchasing burial plots, we are now experiencing a crisis in Eretz Yisrael because, of course, the citizens of Eretz Yisrael, there are a number pass away every year, and throughout the world there are Jews that are sending their mason to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And of course, the real estate of Eretz Yisrael is limited, and so are the areas that have been assigned to be Batei Kfaras are limited, and we're running out of space. We've been running out of space for a long time already. So, of course, we could open up new areas to be cemeteries, and that has happened over time. But there is also resistance to doing that because we're taking land that could otherwise be used for other productive purposes and setting it aside as hallowed ground to be used as a cemetery, which of course comes at a steep cost as well. So I wanted to discuss what is taking place now in Eretz Yisrael, which is really fascinating and touches on many important issues with regards to Kfuras HaMeis. But just as the basic mitzvah of Kfuras HaMeis, the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin over here in Vav and Beis, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Shimon Bar Yochai, Rem is a Kfura min HaTorah Minayim. What is the source? Where is there an allusion, a remez, for the mitzvah of Kfuras HaMeis in the Torah? So the Gemara quotes from the Pasuk in Parshas Kisei, it says, Ki kabortik berenu b'yoy mahu. After a person is put to death by Beis Din, either through Skila, Sreifa, Herek, or Chenek, so the mitzvah was to put him on a tree for that day. But the Pasuk says, Lo sonis nevlasa ha'etzat boiker, you cannot leave him hanging there until the morning. Ki kabor tik bereno by yoy mahu, you should surely bury him on that day. Not allowed to wait until the next day. So the Gemara says, Mikan remez l'kfur min ha-Torah. Since the pasuk says, this is true, it's by Haruge Beis Din, but the pasuk says, Ki kabor tik bereno, a double lashon, and that comes to include all mason. So from this line in the Gemara, we would have perhaps inferred that the mitzvah of kfuras ha-mason is only the Rabbanon. Because the Gemara says, where is there an allusion to the mitzvah of kfura? Remez already sounds somewhat compromised. But Amalei, but the Gemara continues. Amalei Shvamalka, the Rav Chama, Shvamalka, of course, was a non-Jewish ruler, said to Rav Chama, Kfur min ha-Torah minayin, what's the source for the mitzvah of Kfura? So Ishtik v'lo Amalei v'lo Midi. So Rav Chama did not respond at all. So Amar Rach Bar Yaakov, Im Sar Alma, B'yodah de Tipshoi. So who is representing Yiddishkeit? The people who are fools. They don't know the answer to this basic question. What's the mitzvah? Where's the source for the mitzvah of Kfura? The Ibarle Lameimah should have responded, Ki Kabar, from the Pasuk, Ki Kabar Tik Barenu, Bayoy Mahu. So the Gemara says, no, he didn't respond that to the Lovele Aron. Because you could have just put him in an Aron, in a coffin, and called it a day. Where do you see in the Pasuk that he has to be buried in the ground? So Tik Barenu, Lo Mashwe. So you could have said, well, that's why it's a double Oshin, Ki Kabar Tik Barenu. He should be buried in the ground. So he said, no, the guy is not going to be impressed by that. Lo mashmalei. A guy is not going to, you know, hear, oh, it's a double lotion, we're going to come and darshan something. That's not going to impress the guy. So he didn't bother telling him. So, Frekta Gemara, name of me, the Ikbor Tzadiki. Why didn't he say, look, Avram Avinu buried Sarah. There are other Tzadikim that are buried throughout the Chumash. So derive it from there. So Gemara says, no, you can't derive it from them. In Hagaba Almo, maybe that was just a custom that they had at the time. Well, what about the fact that Hashem buried Moshe? I mean, the Kavir HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe, at the end of the Parashat, about that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. So Gemara says, no, Dilo Lishtani Min Haga, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not change from the minhag that was accorded, that was afforded to a person for Kavod HaMeis. So first of all, you see from this Gemara, parenthetically, how powerful and important minhag of Kavod HaMeis is, that even HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have to adhere to the minhag HaOlam of what it was, to what, you know, what the Kavod that was due to a person, Lachamoso. Hashem would have to provide that to Moshe Rabbeinu as well. So the minhag that we give to people after they pass away is critical, and we have to consider that and adhere to that as closely as possible. But that's not a source of the minhag of Kfuras HaMeis. Perhaps that is only because that was the minhag HaMakom. Okay, but what emerges from the Gemara is clearly there's a mitzvah of Kfuras HaMeis. The initial statement of the Gemara implied perhaps it was only the Rabbanon. Subsequent statements, though, if you look at Rav Shmuel Malka, the Rav Chama, he asked Kfur min ha-Torah. He never mentioned anything about an illusion or being the Rabbanon. Sounds perhaps from over here that it could even be the Raisa. But if you look at the Rambam, Perek Yudal, V'Hilchazav, Elocha Aleph, the Rambam says, Mitzvah Saseh Shol Devrehem, it's a mitzvah mid Rabbanon, Levaker Chaylem, to do biker chaylim, ulisasek b'chol tzarchei akvuro, to be involved in all of the preparations and activities of akvuras hameis, lasisel akosef, to carry him on your shoulder, lenech lefana v'lisboid, to do halavaya, to give a eulogy, v'lachbar v'lichbar, and to dig and to cover the mace. Even though these are only the Rabbanon, they're included in the mitzvah of Ahavta L'Reacha Kamecha. So this statement of the Rambam seems to imply that the mitzvah of Kfuras HaMeis is only mid the Rabbanon. However, like the initial statement of the Gemara. However, if you look back at that Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara continues. Three lines from the bottom, the Gemara is a Shaila, Yiboy Lahu, Kfura Mishum Bizyaynahu Mishum Kapara. Obviously, Kfuras HaMeis has two components. There's a bizayon component, for a person to decay, to decompose in the middle of the street would be embarrassing to him and the entire family. And there's a kapara element that is achieved, an atonement that is achieved by being buried in the ground, as the pasuk says, v'chiper ad masayama, the ground atones for its people. So, but the question of the Gemara is, which is the primary reason for the mitzvah kfura? Is it because of bizayon or is it because of kapara? So, l'may nafkamina, what difference does it make? Says the Gemara, makes a difference if a person will instruct his children not to bury him. If it's because of bizyona, so yes, he could be marach on his own bizyona, but it's embarrassing for the family to have their relative, the father, mother, decomposing in the middle of the street. And he has not a balabas to be marach on the family's bizyona. But if it's because of kapara, his own atonement, So if a person instructs his relatives after he passes away not to bury him, so then we can follow that instruction. The Gemara leaves it off as an ibaya de la yifshita. It's not, there's no conclusion that's reached. An open question. However, the Rambam paskins, Gavir Perikyut Beis, Hilchos Avah, Alocha Aleph, Imtziva Shelo Yikbar, if a person commands, instructs his relatives not to bury him, Ein Shoyim Eloi, we do not listen to him. Shakvura Mitzvah, Shenemar, Ki Kavarti Berenah. The Rambam says, Kvuras HaMeis is a mitzvah, sounds like it's a mitzvah midoy raisa, as the Pasuk says, Ki Kavarti Berenah. And therefore, we don't listen to him when he instructs us not to bury him. So the Radvaz writes, why was the Rambam Machmer on this Shaila? If Kvur because of Bizayon, we don't listen to him. If it's because of Kapara, we should listen to him. The Rambam decided that we're not going to listen to him. So says Radvaz, yes, because we're dealing with an issue Dei Raisa. So we say Safik Dei Raisa L'chumah. We're not sure if the primary component or motivation of Kvur is because of Bizayon, in which case we shouldn't listen to him, or it's because of Kapara, in which case he can't be Machel. So since we're not sure, Safik Dei Raisa L'chumah, but clearly the Rambam held a mitzvah of Kvur HaMeis is a mitzvah Dei Raisa. Lech HaMishnah has a similar explanation for the Rambam. He claims that the whole suffix of the Gemara is a bizayon or a kapara was only within the first statement of the Gemara that implied that Kvuras HaMeis is only the Rabbanan. Then we can ask, is it because of bizayon or because of kapara? But once the Gemara got to the question of Shmuel Malka to Rav Chama, that implied that Kvuras HaMeis is deiraisa. Now it doesn't matter whether it's bizayon or kapara. It's a mitzvah deiraisa. That's why the Rambam doesn't quote either reason in explaining why we don't listen to a person who instructs his relatives not to bury him. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah, then a person, after he passed away, is not a balabos to tell us not to fulfill one of the mitzvahs of the Torah of Kikabar Tik Berenah by Yamahu. The whole shayla only existed if Kvuras HaMeis was only the Rabbanan. Okay? So Rambam seems to imply, or to state, that Kvuras HaMeis is a mitzvah midoraisa, and in fact, there is no suffix about it, because the Rambam writes in the Sefer Mitzvah, say Reish Lamed Aleph, that it's a mitzvah midoraisa. To bury a mace, he should tzivanu likvar haruge beisim, says the Rambam, v'uadim b'shar meisim, to bury all meisim. Therefore, says the Rambam, a person who has no kroivim to bury him is referred to as a mace mitzvah, because it's incumbent upon the entire community to bury him. But clearly there's a mitzvah, midei raisa, says the Rambam, of kfuras hameis. What about the earlier statement of the Rambam, where he told us, L'sasik b'chol tzarkei ha'kvura, L'aseh sed al-kosev, to go before him, to give a hesped, l'achbar v'likbar, is only mid-rabbanan. What do we do about that statement? So the commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvahs of the Rambam, classical commentaries, as well as the Ramban in his commentary on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, suggest that the Rambam felt that the mitzvah of Kvuras HaMeis is primarily incumbent upon the relatives of the Nifter. For them, it's a mitzvah midoraisa. What is a mitzvah midorabanan? For anybody else to be involved in the kvura, who's not a relative. That's what the Rambam is describing in Perek Yud Aleph. It's a mitzvah to go to Avaya. There's a mitzvah to help bury a mace. Even if he's not your relative, that's only the Rabbanan. Midoraisa, it's limited only to your relatives. That's why the Rambam says, if the person has no relatives, he's a meis mitzvah, the mitzvah expands and is now incumbent upon the entire community. But if a person has relatives, the mitzvah deiraisa is limited to them. The Rabbanan is for everybody else. Another possibility that some of the Mepharshim on the Sefer Mitzvah suggest for the Rambam, this is adopted by other Achrayim, is that perhaps the Rambam held that the mitzvah of Kvuras HaMeis is deraisa, but it's enough, it's sufficient just to place the person in an oren. If he's placed in a coffin, he's not exposed, on the street to the elements of bizayon. That's enough. You fulfill the mitzvah of Kvuras deraisa. The obligation to bury the mace in the ground, that's only derabbanan. That's what the Rambam says, lachbar v'likbar, that's derabbanan. Maybe though to put the person in an aron would be sufficient midai raisa. I don't think that there's that strong of an indication for that in the language of the Rambam, so I don't find it that compelling. I would prefer to say, like the other achrayim, that it's because the mitzvah midai raisa is coming upon all the relatives, the rabbanan extends even to those who are not relatives, but this suggestion is made within the opinion of the Rambam. However, clearly this would not satisfy the Ramban. For the Ramban, not only burying in an aron is, not only covering the mace is required, actually burying him in the ground is required midday raisa. The Ramban writes, the Torah saw them over here, Ois Hei, Says the Ramban, Nimtzeinu lemeidin, Sha'oisa aron lemeis v'enichai b'veis ha'kvaris, ein ha'kvura. If you just put a mace in an aron and place him in a cemetery on top of the ground, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of kvura. Not midrabana, not midrayraisa. U'bechlau molin as meisa huva over olav. This is including lo selin as nivlosa al eitz. The Iser Deiraisa, to leave him hanging on the tree beyond that day, not only a neglect, a lack of fulfillment of the mitzvah of Deiraisa, of Kikavar Tik Berenu Bayoima, who you violated the Lois Saseh as well. Because the Gemara said, why didn't Rav Chama respond to Shvur Malka from the Pasuk of Tik Berenu, of Kikavar? Because he said, if I would have responded that, it would have implied that an Aron is sufficient, then of course an Aron is not sufficient. You have to bury him in the ground, and he couldn't find an obvious source for that in the Pasuk, so he didn't respond to anything to Shvur Malka. So apparently, burying in an Aron, you know, covering the mace in an Aron, in a coffin, is not enough. It has to be buried in the ground. The Ramban continues, and he says, but one can bury a mace in an Aron if it's put in the ground. Says the Ramban, "Vim asa aron v'kaver b'karka, ein oiver alav." That's not a problem if you put him in an aron that's in the ground. Nonetheless, says the Ramban, one second, "Aval pikein yafehu l'kaver ba'aretz." Best to be buried directly in the dirt without an aron. The kvuras eretz mamish mitzvah. Being buried directly in the dirt is a mitzvah, because the Talmud Yerushalmi tells us when Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was at the end of his life, he commanded his children, instructed them that to bury him in an aron, but to put holes in the bottom of the aron in order that he should be connected to the dirt beneath him. So you see that there's a preference to be buried directly in the dirt. Yeah.
I was just going to ask you that. Like, I thought the Jewish burial is only the body, or like the body and talus on the ground.
So the Ran continues and he explains why this is so. Says the Ran in his commentary on the Masechta Sanhedrin. You don't have to bury directly, you know, in the ground without anything in between. It's not that you're not yotze if there's an aron. It has to be in the ground. The aron has to be in the ground. That is when something is buried, you know, that is when it's concealed, when it's in the ground. They were burying an aron in the ground, but that's sufficient. They would bury in kukum, which are crypts, on the side of the wall, which we'll get to in a second, and they would put them in an aron into the crypt. The passing in Parashas Bereishis, after the chait of eating from the Eitz Hadas, Kadosh Baruch Hu tells Adam HaRishon, ki ofer ata, you came from, the Medrash says, a clump of dirt, a kamitza of dirt, min ofer ata, v'yela ofer toshuv, you should return to the dirt. V'amru ba'agadah sha'afra hu rifu. Also, that returning to the dirt is itself healing for the soul. Tov l'kayim b'kfura karka mamish lo behefzik b'chei minageinu. So it's best, says the Ran, echoing the Ramban, to bury directly in the dirt. And that's the way that it appears in Shulchan Aruch, is that if the Aron is buried, is not buried in the ground, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of kfura at all. But if the Aron is buried in the ground, you fulfill the mitzvah of Furas Hameis, but it is best, Yofer, Lekoiver, Bekarka, it is best to be buried directly in the dirt without an Aron. The Shach writes, if there's holes in the Aron, that's sufficient, but as we know in Eretz Yisrael, the Minig is to bury directly in the ground without an Aron. In Chutz Laretz, that is, at least in America, that's illegal. You have to bury directly in the ground without an Aron. What takes place in different communities, we're not going to discuss, but there are different ways, trap doors and different things that go on. But even in different arenas, one can drill holes into the aron to satisfy the tzavah of Rebbe. That Shach says that's sufficient to be considered kfur b'karka mamish, and that would be enough. But even if there wouldn't be any holes in the aron, according to the Ramban, according to the Ran, that would be sufficient for the mitzvah of Furas Yafa, the Kovra Bakarka. Why? Because Ki Mina Ofer Ata, Ve'ala Ofer Toshuv, it's a refuah for the Neshama. But clearly, burying in an Aron, if it's in the ground, was okay. The Ramban said it's best to be buried directly in the ground. The Ramban might even hold the Chachila. It's best to be, you know, there's no problem with being buried in an Aron that's in the ground. Look at the Ramban. The Ramban says over here, Parag Dalet, Halacha Dalet, The Rambam mentions, and by the way, they buried in Arinos. Coffins are not in, a new development. This was something you see was already going on in the times of the Gemara, in the times of the Rishonim. And the Rambam felt there was no problem with being buried in an Aron of Eitz, a wooden coffin that was then placed in the ground. The Rambam, though, does single out specifically Aronos of Eitz, a wooden coffin, and that is the Minig Yisrael, is to be buried in a Dafka wooden coffin. Where does that come from? From a Medrash in Parashas Bereishis. The Medrash comments on the Pasuk, Vayischabei Adam Ve'ishoi, B'soich Eitz Hagan, after Adam and Chava ate from the Eitz Hadas, they hid amongst the trees of Gan Eden. And the Medrash comments that they hid amongst the trees, that is a remez, an allusion to the fact that in the future, Klal Yisrael will be buried, their descendants will be buried, Dafkan and Oron of Eitz, in a coffin that is made out of wood. Sounds like, from here, that a coffin that's made out of metal is not acceptable, and that is not the Minig Yisrael to bury in a coffin made out of metal. Even though metal is itself karka, metal is mined from the ground. So it's literally being buried in karka, and there's a Talmud Yushalmi that says in Masechtas Pesachim that perhaps one fulfills kvura, strictly speaking, by being buried in a metal aron. And there are those that feel Me'ikra did. You would fulfill the mitzvah of kvura by burying it in aron. In fact, in the Chufas Mishpatei Uziel, which was one of the former Sephardic chief rabbis of Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Tzion Uziel argued, since we don't have explicit source that there's anything wrong with an aron of metal, he permitted it. That is not the minig Yisrael to be buried in an aron of metal. Why not? So I think the answer is obvious, and it's already stated explicitly by some poskim, and that is because the mitzvah is, and keep this in mind for the ensuing discussion, the mitzvah is to be buried not only in karka, to be buried in afar, because kimin ha'afar ata v'yala afar tashuv. The tachlis of furas hames, what is the refuah for the nefesh, for what is the refuah for the neshama, as the Ran described it, is returning. You came from the dirt, you should return to the dirt. So to be buried not in karka, but to be buried in the ground, but so much, of course it has to be in the ground, but to be buried specifically in afar. In dirt, to fulfill kimina afar ata, yela afar tashuv. Why does it have to be specifically in dirt? Because that is where from Adam Arvishim was created, and there is where he should return. The Klichemda, which is a Meir Dan Polutsky, a Pilpul Sefer on Chumash, which is fantastic. So he has on Parshas Chayisara a wonderful explanation why it has to be specifically in dirt. He says because the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes a clump of dirt from which he creates every human being, and he endows us with potential, and it's our job to maximize our potential and be metaher ourselves and cleanse ourselves. But unfortunately, we do averos, and we show that we're nothing more than physical beings. And therefore, at the end of a person's life, since we're still physical beings, we have not become purely spiritual. A person has to return to the dirt from which he came. Otherwise, it's Geneva. We're stealing from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So as a fulfillment of the Heshavis HaGzeva, Asher Gozal, after a person's, since he stole from his true potential, becoming completely spiritual, we have to go back and return the dirt from where it came. Otherwise, we'd be in violation of Gzeva. That's perhaps why he explains, Yosef HaTzadik was buried in just an aron. Vayisem ba'aron b'mitzrayim. It doesn't mention anything about the fact that it was buried in the ground. Or, in this week's parish as well, the pasuk says that Avram Avinu says to the Meches, if you'll allow me to bury my mace, milfonai. Im ekbaras may see milfonai. He says, please allow me to bury her in front of you. It sounds like he has some leverage in the discussion. So the Ramban says, what was he going to do? What was his leverage? What was he going to do if he wasn't going to bury her here? So Ramban says, he told them, if you don't let me bury her here, I'll just put her in an urn and forget about it. What? Just put her in an urn? The urn has to be buried in the ground. So Chaimda says, no, Sarah and Yosef fulfilled their potential becoming pure spiritual beings, and therefore they didn't necessarily need to be buried in the ground. But everybody else, borrowing these unusual tzaddikim, of course, has to be buried directly in the ground. Min ha'ofar ata, yela ofar tashuv. Okay, so everybody needs a place to be buried in the ground. Machameh v'esrim shana, and of course, therefore, if everyone now it becomes desirable to be buried in Eretz Yisrael, even for those who don't live during their lifetime in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to run out of space pretty quickly in Eretz Yisrael. So this is not really a modern conundrum. It's not the first time we've encountered this exact dilemma, because throughout Jewish history, dating back already 1,000 years, Jews have lived in the Galus and had certain areas where they're allowed to bury their Mesim, and they were limited to those designated areas. They weren't allowed to expand and make new Batei Kfaris. So already 1,000 years ago, the Rishonim, the Gaonim, the Acharonim certainly were dealing with this issue about what do we do about the overcrowding in the Batei Kfaris. And the suggestion and the direction that they went was in the following way. They didn't have the options that we're going to discuss in a few minutes about building different kinds of structures. So they employed a different strategy, which was to bury Mason one on top of the other. The tour over here in Shimon Shin Samach Beis in Yeredeir quotes from the Braisa, Tanya Baba Rabasi, Ein Koivin Beis Mason Zeh B'Tzad Zeh. One is not allowed to bury two Mason one next to the other. Unless there was a wall in between them. Each one is in their own grave. And one cannot put two mason, one on top of the other. However, this is only provided that there's not six tvachim in between the mason. But if there are six tvachim in between the mason of Am Yesh Beinayim Ofer Shisha Tvachim Mutar, then it can be allowed. Okay, so the Torah says, can I bury mason one next to each other, one on top of each other? But if there's six tvachim in between them, it can be allowed. There's a Braisa Mesechta Smachas, though, a different version, if you look down at Ois Tes, that tells us not that you need six tvachim, but three tvachim. Says the Braisa Mesechta Smachas, there's three tvachim in between. That's sufficient. So is it three tvachim or is it six tvachim? Some claim that this is a tosofer, the three tvachim. However, I think what is the most obvious explanation, Rabbeisai, is that this: why is it that you need six tvachim in between the two kvaris, in between the two mason? So if you look at the Torah back at Isaiah on the third line, the Torah says, Tzarech, quoting in the name of Rav Haigoin, Tzara shlo yeheh bein mason chavero pokus mishisha tvachim, gimel lazeh, begimel lazeh. Three for this one and three for that one. Because each person, when he's buried in the ground, has to be buried with three tvachim of dirt below him, three tvachim of dirt above him. So therefore, perhaps the other brayse mesechta smachos, when it said that the shear between the mason is three tvachim, didn't mean three tvachim between the two of them, it meant three tvachim for one, three tvachim for the other, which is a total of six tvachim. That's what the Braisa perhaps meant. That's the way many Achronim learn. So when you're burying one mace on top of the other, there has to be a distance of six tvachim between them. What about the mason that are adjacent to each other, one next to each other? So the Tur said, if there's a doif and kever mafsik, a wall between them, that's allowed. So if you look at the Mishnah, Mesechus Baba Basra, the Mishnah discusses what was the practice in the time to the Mishnah, in antiquity, is that they used to bury Mesim not in kfaris above ground like we do. They used to bury them in catacombs, in crypts, buried in caves, in the ground. So you would hire a contractor to build a crypt for you. Yeah. So the Mishnah describes, what are the expectations when you hire a contractor to build a crypt? If I give him a certain amount of land, how many kvarim, how many slots am I entitled to? How many caves? So the Mishnah says that you're entitled to as many caves as you can fit, this is the opinion of the Tanakhama, as long as there's an amma between each kever, between each crypt. Meaning, how big is an amma? Six tvachim. So the opinion of the Tanakhama is, just like you need six tvachim vertically between two mesim, horizontally as well, you need six tvachim in between two kfarim that are adjacent to each other. However, there in the Mishnah, Shimon ben Gamliel disagrees. Shimon Gamliel, Omer, hakol lefi asela. Everything depends on the dirt that you're using, how sturdy it is. If the wall won't collapse, that's enough. Even if there's not a separation of six tvachim, it depends on the how dense the sela is, how dense the ground is. So if you look at the Shulchan Aruch Paskins over here, Oysid Aleph, Ein Kovrim, Beis, Mesim, Zebet, Zadzeh, can't bury two people next to each other, Imken, I Doif, and I Kever Mavsik, unless there's a wall in between them. Ein Nois, Nebeis, Arayna, Zel, Zeh, you can't put two Arayna's next to on top of each other. Vim Nasan, Vim Yesh Benim, Afer Shisha Tfachim Mutter, but if there's six Tfachim between them, then it can be allowed. So, vertically, between two different mesim, you need six tefachim. What about laterally, horizontally? How many? What kind of separation do you need? So from the first part of the Shulchan Aruch, it sounded like it was enough for the Doifen Kever Mafsik. Any wall, any minimal separation. Here the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention a shear. So the Vilna Gaon claims the Shulchan Aruch is passing of Shimon ben Gamliel that a kol ufia sela, as long as the wall won't collapse, so then that's sufficient. However, B'kiva Eger, and the other Mafarshim and Shulchan Aruch claim, no, the Shear, Shisha Tfachim, is going on both. Both vertically and horizontally, you need six Tfachim between each kever. Six Tfachim between each kever. But that's debatable. The Vilna Gaon said, no, it's less than that, as long as it's Doifen, Kever Mafsik. But clearly, vertically, if you want to bury one mace on top of each other, so then you need six Tfachim of dirt in between. However, this is not always easy to accomplish. So B'Kiva Eger, right there in the bracket, quotes from the Sefer Chassidim. He says, well, you know, we had one brisa that said three tefachim. So first, I'm sorry, B'Kiva Eger quotes from the Tashbetz, hey, you know, there's one version, three tefachim. We explained that was probably not what the brisa meant. The brisa meant each mace is entitled to three tefachim, which is a total of six if you're bearing two mace and one on top of each other. Okay. But then the B'Kiva Eger quotes from the Sefer Chassidim, that also, if it's not going to collapse, that's sufficient. If I put a cement block in between one kever and the kever that's below it, that's enough, as long as they're not going to collapse one into the other. Ramesha rejects this entirely. There's a long tshuva about this, bearing mace one on top of the other. And we do not accept this. Each mace is entitled to three tefachim on top, three tefachim below. You don't have to bury a mace 6 feet down. I don't know, we bury them very deep in the ground sometimes, also so deep. But to fulfill the mitzvah of Kvura, it's enough with three tefachim on top of dirt, three tefachim below, maybe even three tefachim on either side. That's the debate within the Achrayim. But how to interpret the Shulchan Aruch. But in terms of vertical separation, there must be six tefachim between the mason. For that reason, the Bach, look over here, Oysid Beis, the Bach lived in the 1600s in Krakow. Anybody ever been to the Beis HaKfaris in Krakow, Prague, Pressburg? So there, in Krakow and Prague, they buried Mason one on top of the other because they ran out of space. These were very populated and dense Jewish communities, and there was only one little area where they were allowed to bury Mason. They didn't have the option of opening up new Bavik forest. So what are they going to do? So the Bach says, Ubekan kilas kodesh Krakow, the kfaras who berochav Yehudim, the evshulin also chutz lerochav neas hakadosh. They're not allowed to go outside of the community. V'nismale beis hakfaras, it's full. Ajeush chulishbach offer. What do? They filled it on top with dirt. Ala kfar mayishenim on top of the old meisim. V'likbar shom ekadosh and started burying anew. V'ein shir kedei tvisa l'kol yachav yachav. It says the Bach. There's not six tefachim between the kfaras. He's protesting. It's not proper what they're doing without a separation of six tefachim. Even though you can bury in one place, as we six tefachim. So the Shach lived a similar time period. Says, of course, it's supposed to be six tefachim. But look back at the Shach in the bracket, Sifkat and Dalud and Oisid Aleph. Miu, im e after the cover, bein acher, v'adai shari. What's your other choice? What are you going to do? You ran out of space. What now? So he said, you're going to leave them in the street? What are you going to do with them? So he said, you have to bury them in the Beis HaKfaris, even though there's no six tefachim in between. What are you going to do? What's the other option? And so too says the Pisgah Jew over there, Sifkat and Gimel, in the name of the Shvus Yaakov, 1700s, 1600s, even though it should really be six tefachim, go out and see, what's taking place? Shekayvim zei tzalzev, zei algav zei, alfa pisha, hu shaloi kedin. Nearly the nispasha the minik, why did this become the custom of Yishol Gol Manu, Nitin Haaretz? It's not our land, we're not in charge. Rekom etzedayim lefaneinu, what are you supposed to do? Vekam eshtal, eshtrikum, vekam akum, es litin lanu ksas makum. To get one little part to be a cemetery was a big asik. How are we going to do to get a bigger place? So we had no choice. Okay, but if there's six tvachim, let's say that's in between the kvaris, so then sounds like that is heter gamur. Heter gamur. Ramesha, in the Igros Moshe, suggests that perhaps the Rambam held that it's always prohibited, no matter how big of a distance you have between one kevin and another kevin. Because look back at Ois Yud. The Rambam says, Ein kevin meis agabi meis, velo shnei meisim ke'echot shebi zayinu. Can't bury two people on top of another or in the same grave, it's a bizayon. And the Rambam never mentions the fact that if there's a large distance between them, it's allowed. The Kesef Mishnah chimes in, the Kesef Atur, by the way, if there's six tefachim between them, then it's allowed. But the Rambam didn't say that. Does the Kesef Mishnah mean to add to the Rambam? Of course, this is what the Rambam meant. Or did he mean to disagree with the Rambam? The Rambam held it's always aser. I'm telling you, if there's six tefachim in between, it's mutter. From the fact that nobody in the world of the Beis Yosef, you know, the Rishayim mentions the fact that the Rambam rejects this halacha, I would presume that the Kesef Mishnah meant to add to the Rambam. Of course, the Rambam believes that if there's six tefachim between them, it's allowed. And he puts it together with, if you bury them in the same kever, meaning the Rambam's talking about, you bury them one on top of each other, or in the same kever, that's a bizayon. But if there's six tefachim between them, of course, the Rambam would allow it. But Ramesha says, look, the Rambam never said that it's mutter. Maybe the Rambam actually holds it's never permitted to bury one mace on top of another. Ah, you'll see on one side of the world is a mace, on the other side of the world is a mace below. So just like there's the Ramesha must agree horizontally there's a distance at which point is permitted, vertically probably also has to agree there's a point that's permitted. Even though Ramesha suggests this in the course of a very lengthy tshuva, when he gets to the end, he doesn't even bother bringing this up, that the Rambam perhaps rejects this halacha. It's not assumed to be that the Rambam rejects this halacha. He also would probably permit it if it would be six tefachim in between, but in the course of making arguments in this very emotional issue, people are bound to quote this Ramesha, who's a lot. But one of the solutions been suggested for the modern day crisis about where to bury people has been to, well, let's bury people one on top of the other like they used to do in Europe. When they ran out of space, they added dirt and buried people one on top of each other as long as there's a break of shisha tefachim. In Europe, they were doing it even less. They didn't have space. But now we can do it properly and bury people with a hefsek of six tefachim. We'll bury them deep in the ground, one on top of the other, and we'll have to have a more detailed or, you know, a new system of making matzevus. You know, we'll have it have it reflected in the Matzeva who's buried where. So by the way, a fascinating consequence of this halacha is that we don't have to ask, by the way, the people who are buried there already, do you mind if we bury on top of you? When people purchase a burial plot, they think like, I own these Dalamas, you know, where I'm going to be buried. You see from this discussion, none of the Paiskim felt that we have to ask the permission of the person who's already buried there, can we bury on top of you? Or when a person does, when he buys a makom l'kvura, he buys the right to be buried here with three tefachim, you know, on top, three tefachim below, maybe three tefachim of dirt on either side, machlekes and the paiskim. But that's it. You do not own the air rights, you know, for your burial plot. And if we need it, the community can add dirt and bury on top. Or in our Beis HaKvaris, where we bury so deep in the ground, you don't even have to add so much dirt. Because it's probably already a six tefachim somewhere over there already.
What if the body that already decomposes, like there's nothing left there? Why can't they just reuse that plot?
You know how long that would take?
I don't know. Like if there's bodies that have to be like a couple hundred years old.
I don't know. That you'd have to find out.
There.
You're talking about a long time. That's not going to help us with the common in the modern day crisis.
Right.
So that this, but many suggested, okay, let's bury with six tefachim in between. We don't have to ask permission, and that's the best solution. That's the that was the traditional solution to this problem, dating back already to the times of Rav Haigai. So this suggestion was endorsed by a certain leader Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael. However, it was brought to Rabbi Yashiv, 1980s. Rabbi Yashiv said, while that was a solution that was used in Europe and traditionally when this problem was encountered, Rabbi Yasha feels that that's only when we're in Galus. He said, we're living in Eretz Yisrael. If we want to open up another Beis HaKfaris, we can open another Beis HaKfaris. It'll be far from Yerushalayim, and it might not be on your favorite mountain. But to use, to start burying Mesim, you know, Zeh, Gabi Zeh, and Eretz Yisrael, he says, is there's no reason to begin doing so. And it's a change from the minhag, as we already saw. Then the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, we have to adhere as closely to what the expectations are of Kavod HaMeis that the community has adopted. And the expectation is that a person, when he dies, is entitled to be buried in his own kever, his own, you know, his own grave. So if we're going to start burying Mesim HaGabi Mesim, that's going to be perceived as a slight to the Kavod HaMeis and a change from the minhag. And why should we begin changing that minhag when it's not necessary? We could open up a new Beis HaKfaris. However, opening up new Batei Kfaris in Eretz Yisrael, of course, is comes at a cost. That we're using real estate could otherwise be used for other uses. So there are going to be those who object to it. So therefore, people pursued other developers, primarily have pursued other options. And what they have begun doing, which I'm sure if you've been here so recently you've noticed, is they have begun building what look like cement parking garages with the levels, and they put dirt along the floor, six tefachim of dirt, three tefachim below the maze, three tefachim above the maze, and they bury them in the dirt that are each one of these cement levels he created. We can build all the way up to the sky, unlimited amount of places for burial. And even inside of the cement columns that support the building, they have dirt offer that's running inside, and it's kind of like a hashaka for mikvahs. If you're familiar with that, like one mikvah is touching the other mikvah, so there's dirt touching all the way to the ground, so it's somehow loosely connected to the ground that's below. That's one option that's being pursued. Another option that has been pursued and been developed is solid cement buildings with crypts inside of them, with kukhim, with caves in the cement, where people can be buried, and a matseva will be placed on the outside. So is this acceptable? So the Gemara says in Masechta Sanhedrin, on the Mem Zayin Rabbeis, Hachaitzit kever le'aviv. A person who digs a grave for his father, v'holach v'kavar b'mokum acher. He prepared a grave for his father, but then they ended up burying him somewhere else. So, re'gzeh lo yikvar bo'alomis. Not only is a person, after he passes away, a maze prohibited in hana and for a benefit, but everything that's associated with him is also b'hana as well. So this kever is also b'hana, even though he never got buried there because he was prepared to be buried there. But the problem is, anything that's attached to the ground usually cannot become asabana. The ground itself cannot become asabana. So Gemara says, not the ground itself. They built a building on top of the ground where they were going to bury him. Oh, so you see, you can bury in buildings that are built on top of the ground. And Zot Rashi, Perish Rashi, Shabono Lemalim in Akarko. He's buried above the ground. This is already taking place in the time of the Gemara. This is nothing new. That's what some say. The problem is that it's certainly not the pshat, almost certainly, in terms of what's going on here. Because Rabbi said, we have already mentioned, that there is a certain measure of kapara that is achieved when a person is buried in the ground. Whether that is a primary focus of the mitzvah of kfura, an ancillary component of the mitzvah of kfura, but certainly there is a component of kapara. So look back at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Ois Aleph. Rashi says, what is the kapara in being buried in the ground? Says Rashi, ki hechi de tahavale kapar bat manazu, be buried in this covering, shemoiridin umashpilin oisa bitachtiyos. They lower you down into the ground, which is humbling. That is the kapara that is achieved through kfuras hameis. Similarly, says the Ran, Rabbi Yosef, over here, ois, hey, and that Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin involving the bays. V'ha'ach kapar damrinin shekfuras hakar kiyah mechaperes ha'in mishum shemat minim oiser b'tachtiyos. They lower you into the ground. V'achna gedayla. This is exceedingly humbling, humiliating. Shebi oiser chai. When he was alive, he ruled over the whole world. Hayam b'yisho kol minei balechayim. He was flying. Now he's embedded deep in the ground. That's humbling, and that's what serves as a kapara. So the very Rashi who told us, what is the kapara of Kfuras HaMeis being buried deep in the ground, cannot mean that they're burying a person in a building where I have to take an elevator to get to his makom akvura. Can't be. What then does Rashi mean? He probably means what all of the other Rishayim say on the Gemara, which is what? Something we are very familiar with if you've ever been to a Beis HaKfaris in Eretz Yisrael. And that is that in Eretz Yisrael, they bury in the ground, but on top of the ground, they build a tzion, a building. And if you're a big rabbi, you get an oil, but a building built on top of your kever. But there's something that's built on top of the person who's not buried there. He's buried in the ground beneath it. Says the Yad Ramah, the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin, Bekever binyin, Shechatzav kever, they dug a kever. If we're building a building, what do we have to dig for? Shechatzav kever, they dug a kever, Bekarka, Be'acharkach, after he was buried, Tzibatoichai binyin, they built a building on top. The guy's buried underneath the binyan, in the ground. Not that you're burying him in a building above ground. And similarly, that's how the Rosh, that's how the Ramban learns, most of the Rishonim, all of the Rishonim, is that we're being buried in the ground with a binyan that's built on top. Says the Ramban, Shechein derech ha-kvaris chayfren chafira gedoy la-muka, v'rechove b'karka, they dug a big hole in the ground, u'boinim lo-kaiso binyan, and afterwards, they would build a kaiso binyan on top. So there's no precedent for this in the times of the Gemara. But can it be accepted? So there were many who suggested, no, it has to be Kfura Bakarka. It has to be buried in the ground. That was the way Shaul Yisraeli, who's Rosh Yeshiva America's Arav, writes in his Truvas Chavos Binyamin. He deals with this issue at length. One of those who deals with it the most. So he suggests that this is like placing an Aron in a Beis HaKfaris without putting it in the ground. In order to fulfill kvura, it's not enough that you're in something that's attached to the ground, even though cement is made out of what? It's made out of all stuff that's mined from the ground, made of like 8 different things, ingredients in cement, all of which are minerals that grow in the, that are extracted from the ground. So it's considered karka, but argues Rav Yisraeli, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of kvura sameis, it's not enough to be buried something or on something that's attached to the ground. Otherwise, putting an aron in the middle of a Beis HaKfaris would be sufficient. Rather, it has to be buried in the ground. Not mechuba lakarka, but bekarka mamish. Kimina ofer ota, yela ofer toshuv. It has to go directly into the ofer, from where it came. And therefore, he claims if a person will bury in this way, it will not be in fulfillment of the mitzvah of kvura, and it will be a violation of halonas hameis. The other parts will deal with this issue don't go necessarily that far. Rabbi Yashiv was asked about this already in the 1980s, even though these projects didn't really begin until like the last 20 years. But Rabbi Yashiv was asked about this in the 1980s in Chelik Beisim, Samach Dawid, Samach Beis of Kovitz Truvis. And he writes that clearly, even if it is a mitzvah, you have fulfilled the mitzvah of Puras Hameis, because cement is karka. So it's attached to the ground, and it's also karka. You're going to put offer on each one of the decks, the levels of this multi-tiered Beis HaKfaris, like it looks like a parking garage. It's going to be, going to be dirt there. So be kfura b'karka. It might even be kfura b'afar, but you don't get the kapara of kfura sameis being buried deep in the ground. That's what Rashi told us. And it's a change from the minig. And why should we change from the minig when there are other solutions that are available? And this is not just a general resistance to changing minhagim. When it comes to kavod hameis, this will be perceived as less kavod hameis than being buried in a plot in the ground. And any kind of slight to kavod hameis is problematic, as the Gemara told us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu buried Moshe in the ground, perhaps just to adhere to the custom at the time of burying the mace in the ground. So Rabbi Yashiv, Rabbi Vazder, and others were opposed to it. This is even, with the multi-tiers. What about the solid cement structures where they're burying in kuchim, in vaults? So that is really not even that different from the mausoleum. If you're familiar with the mausoleum in America, which is a common thing, which was never embraced by the religious community, but you have those are not part of the religious Jewish community who bury in this way. Which is that building that's built on top of the ground costs more money than being buried in the ground. Well, you're buried in a cement vault. And there's a matseva, a plaque on the outside, which recognizes who's buried inside. So there was a, when this issue was raised 100 years ago about being buried in mausoleums, so this was rejected again by the community of religious Paiskim. Rav Moshe has a lengthy tshuva about in the Igros Moshe, even though at the end, because he says the body decomposes slower, which is difficult for the mace spiritually, it's better to decompose faster. But says Rav Moshe, even though the mausoleum, he admits at the end of the tshuva, is made out of cement, and cement is karka, and you're attached to the ground, nonetheless, Rav Moshe says that we have to be afraid that the building could collapse, other than the fact that it's a change in the minhag. Rav Moshe was concerned with chukas akum, why are they doing this? They're doing it to be similar to the way that the Gentiles are buried. But Rav Moshe says we have to be afraid the building will fall down. And I think that that's a serious concern in Eretz Yisrael as well. Al tif techpel l'satum, we don't want to discuss it. But if there should ever, chas v'shalom, be a terrorist attack on one of these multi-tiered Beis HaKfaris, I mean, the confusion and the tragedy that could ensue is enormous. So, and how long do we think these buildings are going to last for? I mean, these cement structures should last, but how are they going to last? You know, I'd be a scale tzedek, who knows? It should come tomorrow, but we don't know how long these cement structures can last. So, you know, we have to be concerned with that as well. It's not necessarily how permanent is this solution is difficult to know. That was Rav Moshe's concern, and just like they rejected the mausoleum, perhaps we should, you know, this should not necessarily be embraced as well. However, the chief rabbinate in Eretz Yisrael has accepted these different possibilities of Kfuras HaMeis, and that's why the projects have continued, and there are people who are being buried in each one of these different types of structures. Rav Avadia, already going back in the 1960s, was asked by Argentina about building a cement structure and burying them in kuchim, in cement vaults. And Rav Avadia says, as long as you put offer on the bottom, that's fulfillment of kimina offer, atavia offer, tashuv. Cement is created from the ground. It's made of things that are mined from the ground. Therefore, it's all machuba lakarka. It's considered to be kfur bakarka. And that is satisfactory. And it's quoted by the Paiskim, the name of the other, Eliyahu Bakshi Daron and other members of the chief rabbinate, that this is a acceptable method of kfura, would satisfy the mitzvah of kfuras hameis, perhaps even lechatchila. However, it hasn't become that popular. There are many people buried in these different structures, but it hasn't become as popular as people thought. Because perhaps of the different halachic issues that are raised, and just because, again, a perception. People don't view it as necessarily as a desirable place to be buried. So because of that, what I think is the best solution is now taking place in Eretz Yisrael, if you've followed this discussion in the news, but what is now in the last few years, what they are doing now is digging out literally caves in the ground. They're digging now out underneath Har HaMenuchos and other well-known desirable locations for Kfura and Eretz Yisrael, and making thousands of Kfaras mile-long tunnels in the ground where they're going to be buried in vaults literally in the ground. So that, of course, goes back to the time that they were burying in the times of the Mishnayos, which certainly, if it's done appropriately, would be acceptable to everyone. And that, I think, will be much more successful. Another option is just making artificial mountains and burying in these kinds of artificial mountains. But that's of course, very difficult. Okay.
Sure. If we're talking